how has this pandemic affected your relationship, I wonder? You know, and if you're married, how has it affected your marriage? I'll tell you this, in the case of mine, you know, I love my wife more than ever, Corey. You know, the respect that I've gained for her these past 5-6 months, how hard she's worked to keep the house together, us together, you know, commitment. You know, I have a greater adoration, if you will. I adore my wife even more now than before this.
I don't want to share someone else's thoughts. I want to create my own original thoughts. I want to create my own original solutions. I want to look at situations and come up with my own phrasing, my own words, and do it my way.
This is the John Taffer Podcast.
Shut it down!
Well, hello. Another week, Corey.
Yeah, another week.
Welcome, everybody. I'm John Taffer. This is my podcast. And listen carefully for a second.
Ooh, a little ASMR.
That pour? You hear that fizz? I'm not really one for self-plugging that much, but I gotta tell you, I fucking love Taffer's Grapefruit Seltzer. And I'm not normally one to open up cocktails early in the day, Corey. You know that. I'm typically an after six kind of drinker.
Right.
But I am sitting here with a can of grapefruit, and the past week, I have been loving my grapefruit moon. Now, I worked really hard in the laboratory in these flavors, so they should be good, you'd think, right?
Well, I hope so.
When you haven't had one in a couple months and then you taste it again and you realize, man, is this freaking good. So that was the sound of me cracking my can of Taffer's Grapefruit Moon. And any of you that are interested in Taffer's seltzers, and I guarantee you I'm going to put myself right out there, Corey, it's the best freaking seltzer you've ever tasted. If anybody's interested, you can go to taffersmix.com and it'll tell you what retailers have the seltzer. Also, you can get it at Thirsty. Which has national distribution in a whole bunch of places, Walmarts and retailers all over the country. So go to taffersmix.com and you can try your own. But man, if you hear me sipping, that's what I'm drinking today. So here it is another day, Corey. You know what's amazing to me is I've been able to make new friends during the pandemic through Zoom. And it's fascinating, you know, I'm not allowed to say the names of these things, and certainly we don't want to jinx them in the TV business, but I'm obviously working on, you know, where is Bar Rescue, how is Bar Rescue going to look when it comes back, and we're playing around with that. I have another television show in a different daytime format that we're working on, that we're closing up on, and we have a third project that we're working on with a streamer, which is another television project, and so we're busy working on those three things, Corey. We got the seltzer going on. We got the mixer going on. Taffer's Tavern in Alpharetta. If you're not following it, I'm really excited about this. If you're not following it, you can do so. You can go to Taffer's Tavern on social media. And there's photographs right now as the restaurant is being built and the signage is going up. And I'm really excited about it. I'm probably one of the only restaurant people who's actually excited these days, Corey, about what we're doing and how we're doing it. So I've been working my ass off, man. And you have too, Corey.
Oh, yeah. I've been busier now, you know, with all of this quarantine stuff, and it's interesting.
And it's interesting, you know, so those of you who don't know this, we have our offices in Las Vegas, only, what, 4 blocks from the Strip, something like that, Corey?
Yeah.
About 4 blocks from the middle of the Strip, and in our Taffer Media's offices, we have a production studio, and that's normally where Corey works, and we have a production studio with a bar in it, and then we have a podcast studio, which is normally where you see me do podcasts with the screen behind me. And then we have a post-production and production room, which is where Corey sits, that has a glass window out of it that looks into both the studio and the podcast studio. So we have a nice little setup there. Would you agree in Vegas?
Yeah, we do. I miss it.
Yeah, I bet you do. So now the pandemic happens, and I have my bar at home. So now Corey, who I trust, you know, from a standpoint of his own sanitation and wearing a mask, and he would always keep me safe, and he's been with me a while, and we know and trust each other. So Corey's allowed to come into my house. So what we did is we turned my home bar into a production studio. We turned my theater into a speaking facility because my theater has draperies in front of it. In front of the screen. So I stand in front of those draperies, and that's where we shoot our speeches, and we use 2 or 3 cameras in there, and it's very professional. Corey, maybe you can post a couple of examples of some of our speeches for everybody so they can take a peek.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
Of what those look like, and we're using 3 cameras, and we're shooting it live in the theater, which is one set here in my house, And then today I'm sitting here at my bar, and this is where we've been doing the podcast and a lot of news shows. But it's interesting because some of the news channels, and those of you who follow me closely know I do a lot of news channels. I do Fox Business, CNBC, MSNBC. This morning I did NPR. So I do a lot of media, all political spectrums on all sides. And sometimes they don't like the liquor bottles behind me. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Corey's got to swing the cameras all around. And on the other side of me is the baseball collection that you normally see when I don't have the bar behind me. And that's just us swinging the cameras around about 180 degrees. But, you know, during this time, you know, I've thought a lot about how fortunate I've been. I'm still able to do business, Corey. You're still able to come to work every day.
Right.
Get stuff done, be productive, be proud of the work that you're doing, get paid, right? Your benefits. So you know, we're lucky things have gone on for us. And for some people, it's been much, much harder. Some people almost impossible between the economic problems and the emotional issues with everything going on. During this entire thing with all the Zoom calls and stuff, I find that I've made a lot of new friends. Corey, do you find that?
I feel like I've gotten closer to my previous friends, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Because now when you call them or Zoom with them, you're really focused on them, aren't you?
Right, yeah.
You know, it's mm-hmm. So, you know, I agree. And it's been fascinating the impact that this isolation, the bubble, if I call it, because we're all in a bubble, to some degree, you know, how that's affected our relationships. And in some cases, it affected marriages in a bad way. In some cases, it's affected marriages in a good way. I know because I've heard from a lot of friends who are saying they're stressed by it. Some cases, parents who adore their children, love their kids, Corey, right? Would do anything for their kids. After 4 months, 5 months of their kids locked in the house, they're ready to rip their eyes out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's impacted parent and kid relationships. It's impacted marriages. It's impacted partnerships. You know, it's impacted the creative process. You know, we can't all get in the same room and do creative things like we used to. So how has the pandemic affected your relationships? You know, in the bubble that we live in. Last week, and I want to thank Nate Schmidt for being here last week. When Nate was here, we were talking about the hockey bubble. And, you know, when I look at baseball and a little shaky, right? We didn't know if it was going to make it, not going to make it, how many people are getting sick, how many are not getting sick. I wouldn't say that baseball executed this in like a flawless kind of way. Would you, Corey?
No.
Pretty shaky there. Pretty screwed up. Yep. And then you take a look at the NBA in their bubble down at Disney, mm-hmm. and they seem to be doing okay. But, you know, when you watch the game, there's a difference in energy for sure. Basketball doesn't feel quite the same. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I look at hockey and the NHL, now I know I'm a hockey fan, but I'm also a baseball fan. It seems that they have executed it better than anyone else.
Yeah.
A, no players are getting sick.
Yeah.
The game is still exciting and fun. The players are still playing hard. They've decorated the arenas really well, the way they covered the seats.
Right.
And then the drop downs over the back sections so you don't see an empty arena, and they put video and graphics up. And I got to tell you, hats off. Mm-hmm. You know, last week there was a hat trick, and somehow somebody came out and they threw the hats on the ice.
that was awesome.
And you know, the hats off to the NHL. You know, I think they've done this as an example to the way this can be done. And talking to Nate last week, it's interesting. You know, I'm not sure that all of our conversation made the podcast, but he was talking about how the players are almost more intense now than when there were fans in the room. Because there's no distractions. All they're focused on is their own play right now.
Right.
Winning their own play, getting that puck, pushing. So it's really exciting. So I must say, I am pretty freaking excited about hockey being back to playoffs starting today. And it's going to be an exciting few weeks. If you haven't watched hockey in a while, give a look. You're going to see some incredible fights, hard hits. You're going to see a war to get to this Stanley Cup. But, you know, Nate was talking about the bubble that they're in. And, you know, they can't leave their hotel and this and that. But he was telling me how even with players that they've had a close relationship with, Corey, they're getting closer even now, right? Because they're together 24 hours a day. They're locked in this hotel. They're hanging in these meeting rooms. How has this pandemic affected your relationship, I wonder? You know, and if you're married, how has it affected your marriage? I'll tell you this, in the case of mine, you know, I love my wife more than ever, Corey. You know, the respect that I've gained for her these past 5-6 months, how hard she's worked to keep the house together, us together, you know, commitment. You know, I have a greater adoration, if you will. I adore my wife even more now than before this, you know, and respect her. She's my producer in the morning, gets up with me at 5 a.m. for the Fox broadcasts and all that. So yeah. In our case, it's pulled us together. We have a common goal, working, getting these broadcasts done, all that kind of stuff. I have some friends, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, so to me, this has been difficult because I'm not near my daughter, so I can't see her as much. So how has it affected your own lives? How has it affected your relationships with your friends, with your business partners, with your parents, with your children? So that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about today. So I'm really interested to hear what you guys think. So I'm going to open up some calls in a minute, Corey, and I want to talk to people. You know, how is the pandemic affecting your relationships? And the whole point of this discussion is that the last thing we want is for this pandemic or COVID to win, meaning to affect the relationships in your life that mean so much to you long term. Can't have that.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we keep this together? How do we get past the frustration of not having? How do we get past the frustration of being locked together? And how do we make our relationships better during this pandemic? So I'm eager to talk to you guys and see what you think. And we'll start those calls when I come back.
Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
Okay, first caller is John. John is actually in Washington, D.C. And interestingly, Corey, John is an alcoholic beverage control board investigator. How are you, John?
Hey, John. Doing well.
Good. Where are you, buddy? What city are you in?
I am in Washington, D.C.
So you live in Washington proper. Okay. You know, it's funny. Years ago, I used to own a bunch of bartending schools called Bartenders Academy in Washington. We had a school on K Street and one in Alexandria, and I lived in D.C. for years. This is years ago. Man, what a great city to live in. Of course, not at the moment, but what a great city to live in. So hats off to you, John. So you're an ABC board investigator?
Yes, I am.
So tell us what that is.
So I work for the local liquor authority, and we investigate violations and also monitor for compliance to DC code and the board's orders and regulations.
So, just so everybody knows, so you know, different states have different terms for what ABC is, of course, alcoholic beverage control. But what you do is a very important function, and you make certain that bars and facilities that have licenses to sell alcohol meet the compliance and regulatory requirements of not serving the minors, not over-serving, not refilling bottles. I'm just giving the big ones, obviously, John. And other compliance issues.
Yep, all correct.
Get from wholesalers, yep. Don't buy product from retailers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a very important function. Not only do you keep us safe, but you keep the playing field even and honest, which is important.
Yes,
so the bad guys don't have advantages over the good guys, right? Which would be so
correct.
You, that's a very important function, and some people don't look at what you do as that. But you're the great equalizer. You know, you make sure everybody plays by the same rules in the same situation. So you've been going through hell with COVID from a professional standpoint, I would think.
Yes, absolutely. From day one when we did the shutdown, enforcing the shutdown, to up until now where there's partial occupancy, no live entertainment, and really ensuring that even playing field, because the margins are, I mean, you know, they're so tight.
Yeah.
And everyone is just chasing the same dollar.
Yeah. You know, John, just personally a question to ask is, you know, going through this, you know, I've seen my peers, my bar operators, and you know some of these people, I'm sure you can close your eyes and picture their faces. They're doing everything right. They're fighting for their lives. And it's I've got to believe it's so hard for you to watch, particularly the good operators that you know who are really have integrity and are trying. Does your heart get broken out there these days?
I mean, it does. I've certainly come across owners who've openly wept in front of me because they're unable to really understand the new operating environment and to pivot. There's life pre-COVID and life during COVID. Yeah. And if you were X before, you really need to retool. And the ones that are successful are pivoting, retooling. They know their numbers.
Yep.
They know how much revenue they need to generate. And the ones that can't are just awash in stressors.
Yeah.
And often make bad decisions.
Yeah. So we were talking today on my podcast about how COVID has affected professional and personal relationships. So you don't get to meet your coworkers. You guys don't have meetings anymore. So obviously your professional life is very different than it used to be. I got to believe, right?
Right. It's all Zoom meetings.
Yep.
There's a lot of interagency, health department, the building guys, the fire marshals. So working with agencies you might not have worked with before, increase in complaints from private citizens, competitors, perhaps giving bad information.
So I'm just trying to picture your life, John. So here you are in Washington. You certainly sound like a good guy to me. You sound like, you know, somebody who cares about the work and everything that you do. So now you see this industry that you love, that you're a part of, falling apart. You're getting slammed with new loads of work, new things to learn, new standards, new procedures, new policies every day. So I'm guessing work has you sort of stressed. I'm guessing, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
How is this affecting your personal life?
Well, it's honestly put a great strain. I'm going through a breakup, and I think part of that was the stressors of work, of life. The person I was with, went through a layoff, and what I think was important for us was to realize it's better for us to break up as friends than try to make something work and become enemies.
Yeah.
So though it didn't work out as a relationship, I gained a friend, an ally, that I could still network, lean on. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So romantically.
You still care for each other, but it's an interesting point that you make. You still care for each other. That's the logical side of your brain, right? You still care for each other. You want each other to be successful. You want to be supportive of each other. All that stuff is in place. But, when you get to the intimacy side of the fence, which is the emotional side of the fence, these external factors mean a lot. Certainly, these pressures affect desires for intimacy. It causes people sometimes to pull inside with you, if you will, so we don't express ourselves as well. There's an inherent sadness that can live in some of us when it comes to the emotional side of who we are right now. So did the two of you talk about that, the fact that, COVID is having this huge impact on you that might otherwise not be causing these things to happen? Did you have that discussion?
We did. That it just kind of, I think, expedited things.
Yeah.
And I think it was the communication that led us to realize that, this isn't working.
Yeah.
But maybe it can work a different way.
Yeah.
And we both can part and find something else.
So you're the kind of guy who you're going to find the good in a situation. Because that's inherently what you're doing.
I'm going to try.
And it seems
I'm
to
gonna
me,
try.
Yeah, it seems to me at work you're doing the same thing. You're taking an approach of, okay, I've got to make a difference. This is a chance for me to help these people get through this, et cetera. So, there's a story and there's a moral to this, John. And hats off to you, buddy. When you can look at a situation like this and so many people can say, this glass isn't half empty. This glass is freaking empty right now. Not even half full. So, you're finding that glass can be filled. And you're looking at things in an extremely positive way. And, your attitude, I think, is a great example for all of us, buddy. So good luck in these struggles and stay safe, okay?
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care, John. Well, next is Sarah, who is shut down in Michigan, by the way. And Sarah has had some really stressful situations. So, Sarah, what's going on? Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Where are you in Michigan?
Kalamazoo.
Oh, Kalamazoo, sure. So I was reading your note that you sent to us. So yeah. Hats off. So you were a development manager at a women's addiction treatment facility. Talk about an emotional position.
It was tough for sure.
Yeah, I have some friends that are social workers that are in that space as well. And, you know, the pressure of getting people off addiction and the crises that are connected to that are really significant. And then the impact on families as well and third parties and caregivers. And so hats off. You come from a very, very tough background. So tell me your story. So you left that job. I want to hear your story because your sequence of story is really interesting. So please share it with me.
Sure. So I was commuting about an hour and a half a day to that position, and we dealt with mainly Medicaid recipients. And so that's also a different population in general. And it just was such the women who I worked with do such a great job. It just really took a toll on my mental health and my health. I was suffering from migraines about 4 to 5 times a week to the point where I would just come home from my commute, say hi to my husband, and then just go to bed because I'd be so emotionally exhausted. So as soon as he accepted a position at a company kind of in the area, about 20 minutes away.
Can I ask you a silly question? When you were on that drive home after that busy day and you were in your car for over an hour, right? Stressful day, all that. What did you listen to? Did you listen to music? Did you listen to... I'm really curious because that hour affected your mood. You know, it helped the rest of your day. I'm curious to know how you dealt with that.
So what I listened to on my way into work was I listened to a couple of different like books, like just like not even self-help books, but just like, okay, today, like you're going to be positive, try to make an impact on somebody's life.
Okay, so you listen to motivating stuff in the morning. Okay.
Yeah, and then when I would come home, I usually would just be quiet. So like I would just try to decompress so I wouldn't bring it home to my husband.
Gotcha. So is it reasonable to say that the psyche, where your head was at when you left work, sort of stayed that way on a drive home? Because music didn't change it, books didn't change it. So I'm just wondering if that hour was different. And I'm going to let you tell the rest of your story in a second, but this is interesting to me. You know, had you listened to your favorite happy music or had you listened to something that was, maybe would things have been different when you walked at home? And you know what I'm finding, Sarah, for myself, that these days it's easy to get depressed. It's easy to get pulled down by all this stuff. So we almost have to work at creating these bursts of happiness during our day, you know? So maybe it's listening to a band that I love for 15 minutes because I know it's going to make... So I wonder if that hour wasn't an opportunity for you, you know, to make yourself happy that maybe you didn't take. Just an interesting thought, isn't it?
No, yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think that's how I started seeing my like mental health kind of deteriorate is because I would kind of do that. But then towards my last couple of weeks there, it seemed as though nothing I could do on my way home would just relinquish some of the stress I felt the next day. Like if I didn't get funding, like that meant somebody wasn't going to get treatment. And so it was very emotional.
So now you leave that, right? Yeah. Now pick up your story.
Sure. So after I leave that, my husband actually started, he switched careers and went to a company by us. And so we were smooth. Everything was great. And then March 16th happened. So then everybody started working from home, mandated it in the state of Michigan. Yeah. So my husband only worked 2 weeks, actually only after orientation, about 5 days at his new position at his new company before he was told just to go home and hope to figure it out.
Wow.
So as I was kind of building myself up, like being like, okay, I did all the best I could. It wasn't anything I could have done for some of these different projects or anything like that. I was seeing that my husband was actually starting to deteriorate because of working from home and learning a new position. And so it just took a toll on us where he would just wake up on.
What do you mean by deteriorate? Was his attitude getting bad? Was he depressed? Would he not want to get out of bed? Help us understand.
Yeah, sure. So it got to the point where it was like Sunday nights, we'll have like a fun weekend inside playing with our two dogs or something. And then by Sunday night, it was like almost like he lost color in his face and just was dreading going signing on to work the next day because he didn't know the company that well yet. He didn't know his position that well, and his boss seemed to not give him any grace period. And so it would be Monday morning, and it would just be very stressful in the house. It'd be very tense.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, I think we're all this way a little bit, Saren. We like to have some control over our lives. And, you know, in his previous job, he felt he could predict his life. He had some control over his destiny, right? He knew the people he worked with. He was comfortable in that environment. You know what I'm saying? It was predictable to him.
Oh, for sure.
The fact that he was going to get a paycheck next week was predictable to him. The fact that he could go to a restaurant, go out with friends, go out to dinner with his wonderful wife. And now, everything that was predictable to him has been taken away. He's lost control of his own destiny. And I have felt that way myself these past couple months. And it's interesting, Sarah, because to me, the toughest day of the week is Sunday because I'm not as busy. On work days, it's a lot easier for me, right? Because I can keep myself busy all day long.
Oh, absolutely.
Sundays are brutal for me. So I'm sorry, I keep interrupting your story, but I want to understand, and this is important. So he's bummed. He's just generally bummed out.
John, it was bad. Yeah.
Aw.
And we're like in our mid-30s, like I'm 31 and my husband's 36. And so watching him, like, and we couldn't escape anywhere. So it kind of, like I said in my story, like it kind of just forced us to deal with what was going on because we would normally go out to a restaurant or go out to eat or grab drinks with friends. Well, we couldn't do that. Like it was just us. And so, and we kind of live in a little bit of the country area. So it's like just us, nothing else
around. So you're really isolated.
And so as, very much so. And so as he was starting to see his mental health go down, I was finally starting to feel back excited about my career. And so on June 8th was my first day of grad school. Mm-hmm. And on June 11th, my husband was told he was terminated from his position. And that was about a week before his birthday.
Wow.
And so it made me really, I don't know, it made me really sad because my husband worked 15 years at a very large cereal manufacturer in Michigan.
Yep.
And it was promoted 4 times, fits in really well with a lot of people. And then just to see the situation, both on his boss's end and both on his end, just not create such a conducive environment to grow. It was just a really bad time, but it also provided some relief that he didn't have to continue, you know?
Yeah. So this large company, which of course will go unnamed, are they going to be bringing back some of these employees? Because people are still eating cereal, obviously. So, are they going to accept a senior employee who, you know, has a higher level of benefits and such? Or are they going to bring in new people and not bring somebody like your husband back? What do you think?
It's so funny that you said that. I think it's actually the opposite. I think that they're going to be taking more of, like, the people on the lower totem pole.
Right.
For sure. Just because it's a little bit more cost effective, realistically.
Yeah. So what have the two of you talked about with regard to looking forward? Now, you've got a new job. You started school.
Yeah.
You got something to look forward to right now. You're excited,
absolutely,
right? You got stuff
absolutely.
You got to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that. He doesn't have that right now.
No.
So how do you give that to him? How do you get him excited about going forward? Do the two of you need to sit down and say, okay, let's only talk about the future. What are we going to do? What do we want to do? Do we want to buy something? Do we want to start a business? Do we want to go find another job? Do you want to do a career? Let's talk. You got to get him excited. You got to get him looking forward to something again. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, John. Well, yeah, what really made him super excited recently was when hockey started back up because he's huge into hockey. And so that's been really fun for us because I've gotten into it with him. But I think what this really taught me is to be a lot more understanding. Like, I work nonprofit. My graduate degree will be in community development, significantly different than corporate. So I told him wherever he wanted to go, wherever he saw community, wherever he wanted to utilize his network, like, let's do it. Let's try.
Yeah.
Because we have nothing to lose.
He's
and
got you.
I think that kind of took some stress off in him for sure.
Also, you got to reaffirm your commitment to him, you know, and how behind him you are and how you'll step up and do your part in this thing too. Spend some time with him focused only on what he wants to do. Get him excited again, Sarah. And do me a favor. Keep in touch with us here. You have our email and such. If me talking to him off, not in a podcast, if me giving him a call for a minute helps, let us know. And I'm happy to do that without any cameras or recordings.
I really, really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
Well, you have great energy, Sarah. And you know, I think we all need to learn from this. Look at all the changes that are going on in your life. But yet you're still looking forward to tomorrow. You still found something that's exciting you every day. We all need to find that, Sarah. So hats off and stay safe, okay?
Thank you so much, Faye. Yep, thank you. You too.
So my next caller is Molly. And Molly's fiancé and her are sort of locked up in Boston. And they have their own sets of problems being a young, engaged couple, Corey. Can you imagine that? You get engaged, your whole life is in front of you. Yeah. And then whammo! This happens. Think of all the canceled weddings and everything going on. So Molly has figured out a way to stay positive during this thing. So Molly, how are you?
Hi, John. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you, too. Where are you in Ohio?
I'm from Ohio, but I'm living in Boston.
Oh, so you're in Boston now. Okay. So yeah. Great city. I love Boston. How long have you been in Boston?
We've been here a little over a year now.
Gotcha. So big change from Ohio to Boston. So,
Yeah.
So, you are engaged, as I see from your notes, and you and your fiance are living in Boston and you've been working from home. And it's interesting because I've been talking today about how the COVID and the pandemic and, you know, the lockdowns have affected people's relationships. And, you know, some people, my wife and I, who were close in the first place, got even closer, you know, during this and, you know, learned even a lot more about each other. And I was noticing that you, too, have sort of a positive spin on the way you and your fiancé are doing. So I got a couple of questions for you. First of all, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Honestly, we're staying healthy. We're both working from home. We have our jobs. Our families are healthy. We have health insurance. We're not in any financial ruins or anything. Everything's been pretty good for us. It's only the pandemic's unfortunately, it's only improved our life because we get to spend more time with each other. But yeah, I mean, otherwise, you know, nothing really to complain about whatsoever.
You know, it's interesting. And you sound pretty young, Molly. I'm guessing, are you under 30?
Yeah, I'm 24.
Gotcha. So you're pretty young. So you're now in a situation where obviously you and I both, we're in a better place than a lot of people are, right? You do have your medical insurance, as do I. You have a few bucks, as do I. So you're not worried about those stresses. But, you know, as a young girl, you and your fiance must have gone out pretty often, I would think, being a young person before this pandemic.
Yeah, definitely him some more than me. But yeah, I mean, and especially in Boston, you know, a new city, it's just so much to do. So yeah, it was kind of a really big stop in our lives going from, 100 to zero real quick, even just with commuting. I mean, you know, we took the train every single day and, you know, walked past thousands of people. And now it's, I see 10 people a day at most.
What do you do now to keep busy? So what is it like? Do you guys sit and watch television? Do you do things separately? Do you do things together? What have you done to reinforce your relationship these past couple months?
A lot of it, I think mainly what we really like is when we're working from, 9 to 5 and, he's in our second bedroom and like in his office, cause he works from home like every other day during regular times before the pandemic, but I went to work like 5 days a week. So he has his office in there and then I work out here in the living room. And it's just nice being able to like, if we need a break or something, then, just come in and say hi and, talk to each other. Just during the workday, which is just definitely a bonus. And we have our dog here with us. And so it's super nice to be able to have him home with us and, have him switch all the time, which, I'm sure he appreciates. But a lot of it, it's just nice having him there for the support during the workday. And then after the workday, I mean, we kind of like to do our own thing. We're pretty independent, but it's nice to be able to, kind of come back together for dinner and then, we'll go take the dog for a walk. And I feel like it's been nothing but more positivity because before, we'd come home from work, if we were done at 5, we get home at 6:30 and, we're exhausted and we're hungry and we're tired and, just want to do our own thing. So it's nice not being tired and being able to, just live our lives kind of a little bit more.
Yeah. It's interesting. If we pick apart what you're saying, for every person, there's some good in this. There's a chance to read. If you like to read, you have more free time. There's a chance to talk to your spouse or fiance or boyfriend or girlfriend and get about personal discussions and unhurried times because you're sitting together for so many hours. If you love to cook, boy, you could become a great cook these next few months, right? If you love making drinks, if you love doing art or drawing, in a way, what you're saying is really powerful. Because if I said to you before the pandemic, Molly, if you had an extra 4 or 5 hours in every day, what would you do with those hours? If I asked you that before the pandemic, you'd come up with some really cool things, wouldn't you? Oh, John, I'd love to go here. I'd love to do this. I'd love to read more. I'd love to watch old movies, whatever the hell you came up with. So it's interesting. Post-pandemic, we actually do have that opportunity. Each one of us has extra hours every week. Now, we can't go out and go to restaurants and concerts, and I understand that. But within the confines of our environment, we all have amazing opportunities now to work together.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, when I did Marriage Rescue and I would deal with couples who excuse me, and I would deal with couples, of course, who were on the verge of divorce or already separated and such. In almost every case, their problem was communication, Molly. You know, their problems was communication in that they didn't take the time to sit and look in each other's eyes or they weren't unable to communicate. What you're telling me is during this time period, you and your fiancé have communicated more than ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've always been pretty, you know, open and honest and have had good, you know, ways of communication with each other. But just being able to, it's almost nice to be able to not have, you know, serious couple relationships or, you know, do things like that. You know, I can just go in and talk to them about, oh, you know, I see, you know, this was on TV or something. Because before it was more so like, you know, we're just tired and we just, okay, you know, so we have rent coming up and okay, there's this appointment coming up. But now it's like, oh, okay, we can talk about things that, you know, we just enjoy and want to talk about.
Yeah, you have the time for each other now.
And you know, I love these.
I love these calls, Molly, and I love talking to somebody like you because there's a lesson for all of our listeners in here. Is, you know, there is opportunity in this pandemic. You know, there is opportunity to walk in to your partner in the middle of his workday and, you know, to say hello. And there is an opportunity to have lunch together, which you haven't had before. And you're not exhausted every night like you used to be. So, you know, there's opportunities to spend great time together, watch movies you've never, more hours of intimacy together. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, the kind of opportunities that we all have. So hats off to you, Molly. What's your fiancé's name?
His name's Aaron.
Aaron. Well, say hi to Aaron for me. Tell him I said he's got a winner with you. He better keep shutting it down, okay?
I sure will.
Take care,
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate you calling. Thank you.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. Well, I got a big thanks to John, Sarah, and Molly for coming on this week and talking to me. You know, I love podcasts. I love doing this podcast. What's exciting to me about this podcast is, you know, on TV, I sort of do my thing. I do it to the owners that are in the room. I do it to the employees that are in the room. I really don't do Bar Rescue or TV for the audience. You know, I do it for them. I do it for me. You know, I do it in the moment. I live in the moment. The cameras don't even mean anything to me. Podcasts are different. Podcasts are a chance to say anything I want to say, Corey, right?
Yeah.
So, right? I can say whatever the hell I want to say. Right. I can have a conversation with you. I can talk about things that matter. I can interact with you guys. You know, you can call me at our, and I'll call you back and we'll get you on the podcast. You can send me a note and our team will respond to you and we'll get you on the podcast. This is an opportunity to really exchange ideas and talk together. I look forward to this every week because it's so different. And if I could spend an hour making TV or talking to you guys in a podcast, I would take that hour talking to you guys in a podcast every time. So thanks, John, Sarah, Molly, and, you know, I'd love to talk to you, too. And if you'd like to be on this podcast, it's really easy. We make it simple, don't we, Corey?
We do. Give us a call.
Yep, just give us a call at 916-842-5180. Sometimes we answer. Sometimes you leave a message and we'll call you back. But you'll find that we will call you back. We'll get you on the podcast. If you like email, you want to send us a note, you can do so at podcast@johntaffer.com. podcast@johntaffer.com. And as always, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. You get your new episodes every week. And we love comments, don't we?
We do. We do.
So share comments with it. We love to know what you're thinking. And I always want to leave us with some purpose. I had a purpose this week in this podcast. I wanted to talk about personal relationships for a moment. I wanted to talk about the opportunities that this pandemic gives us to build personal relationships. And you said it when we started, Corey. You're closer to some of your friends now than you were in the beginning.
Absolutely, yeah.
I get to FaceTime with my daughter, my grandson all the time. I get to see him every day. You know, if it wasn't for this, I'd get to see him every few weeks. I wouldn't be FaceTiming with him every day.
Right.
But now I am. So this is an opportunity to build our relationships, whether it's by Zoom call, FaceTime, however you're going to do it. Don't miss the good part of this. So if I asked you, before this pandemic, if you had 5 or 6 hours every week of extra time, what would you do with it? Well, think about what you would do with that and do it now. Do it now. You can still go out in your car and drive around. Corey, you love to go out in the desert.
Yeah.
You can do that on your own. You don't need to be with people.
Yeah.
Some people love to read. Some people love to watch movies. Some people go nuts over music. So what is it that you can do to make this a little positive? Find your 5 hours. And build those 5 hours into this week. And I'll talk to you next week. And I want to talk about what the hell those 5 hours are. So let's make this better, guys. This is going to end. We are ticking down. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. The minute we get a vaccine, the next thing we're all going to do is go out, aren't we? So I can't wait till that moment. The clock is ticking down. It's coming soon. Let's make the best of this. Use those hours to your advantage. Let's build these relationships with the people that we care most about. This is the time to do it. Talk to you next week.
Subscribe to the John Tapper Podcast right now for more episodes every Thursday.